This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. For young people growing up in a world that can feel increasingly fast, demanding, and overwhelming, learning how to pause may be one of the most powerful skills they can develop.
For this month's episode of Resilient Youth, we're joined by yoga and mindfulness teacher Randy Jo Greenberg, who helps young people and older people use simple practices to manage stress, quiet the mind, and build resilience. We'll explore how learning to tune into your breath, body, and emotions can give kids and teens tools they can carry with them for life. Randy Jo Greenberg, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. We've spoken to you several times over the years that you have sort of permeated this community with your yoga and mindfulness. First of all, how did you come to get involved with this?
Well, I moved here in 2005, and when I moved here, I was already pregnant with my child. I was about 5 months pregnant, and I had come here in the winters in the summers to visit my parents, who had been coming here for like 30 years. And so I knew David Bell's, I knew the shop. And so I was like, oh, I could move there and I could teach yoga. I know exactly where I want to be and what I want to do. And I began with some prenatal classes there, because there was no prenatal teacher at the time in town. So I started teaching prenatal, then postnatal. And then my students and I, we started to have children. And so we did Mommy and Me, and it just evolved. And at the same time I was teaching gentle yoga for adults, I was also teaching all these kids classes. And then when it was time for my daughter to go to preschool, I traded with Creekside Kids and started there with her, and started kind of doing official kids classes. And then she went to Wileman, and I was one of the founding parents at Wileman. And then she went to Trailside for dual immersion, and I went there. So I just kind of followed my kiddo. And it was very convenient with my schedule to be able to teach the hours and same vacations and all those things as my child. But then I kind of fell in love with it, and I couldn't get enough. And I found myself being everywhere. I just wanted to teach anywhere that they would allow me to teach kids or families. And that's the story, really.
And over the years, you've been that person who teaches for the Compass program, the little flyer that we get a couple times a year, or used to get now, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was always Randy Jo Greenberg teaching yoga and mindfulness, which is so wonderful to make it more of a community offering so that anyone could access it.
Yes.
But briefly, tell us what happened with Compass as far as you know.
So I'm not privy to all the details, but I do know that Jane Tolley retired a little early, and she was in charge of the program forever. And I mean, I was teaching through the Compass for over 15 years, and I did adult classes and kid classes, plus I took classes, right, mm-hmm. through the Compass. I loved it. But anyway, I am not 100% sure what happened. I think it was a budget thing, and I also think there's a big decline lately in people signing up for kid programs. I mean, summer camps were a lot smaller this summer, we found, and the after-school classes started to get smaller, and they decided to do something different. And there's only a few programs that they're allowing to be part of the school district after school classes this year, and I am lucky enough to be one of them. And I'm already getting some signups and some classes that are starting to fill up, so that's pretty exciting. So there's still interest.
Good. What are you seeing? So you've been doing this for 20 plus years. What do you see that's changing in the vibes of the kids who come to your classes?
Well, I feel like the kids are growing up a little quicker than they used to. I feel like, I mean, I start with kids who are three, and I notice them speaking more like little adults. It's very interesting. But they're more exposed to being online. They're doing a lot more screen time. They're doing a lot more structured scheduling. Mm-hmm. Kids are going from school right to a sport, or maybe a sport to school to a sport, or
to a lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so much. And I feel like one of the things that I wanted to offer was just this time to kind of just play and be in your body and have fun and be in this moment and just enjoy this particular time with your friends, with learning something without pressure and, it, you know, no testing, no winners, no grades. And it's a nice space for the kids.
Park City can be a very competitive place and literally competitive parenting. I mean, I feel like, especially when they're little, you'd see these almost performative parents. And I just felt like I can't do that. I can't compete with that kind of level of energy that some of the folks keep up. I feel like that does feed anxiety sometimes for these kids who feel that they need to perform just being a kid. What kind of arc do you see from a kid who on their first day with one of your sessions to the last one? What kind of tools do you feel like actually move the needle for them?
Oh my gosh, we have so many. So like really I teach them an entire toolkit, toolbox, toy box of skills. So every week we're learning probably three different mindfulness exercises, breathing exercises. We're moving our body in certain ways and understanding what they're learning from this pose. They're learning to be kinder to themselves. Self-compassion is kind of my key thing. I love teaching them about being in the present moment, you know, practicing mindfulness, and about really understanding that they're not the only one going through what they're going through. They're not the only one that's nervous about the math test. They're not the only one that's, you know, competing after school and they're worried about that. You know, they can kind of learn to relate and understand that they're not alone, that we're all connected. And then also the idea of just being kinder to yourself. You know, it's nice to talk about kindness for others, but kindness for yourself has to come first, and they have to understand, you know, I'm okay, and I love me, and I can take a breath and begin again, and it's okay, and yeah, we don't have to be perfect. And, it, to kids, it always appears every other kid knows what they're doing, you know, mm-hmm. just like adults,
sometimes,
right?
We all think, say, yeah.
Oh, you got it going on. You're perfect. You get it. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But, you know, we're all going through the same stuff.
Right. If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're having a conversation in the studio with Randy Jo Greenberg. She's a local yoga and mindfulness teacher. We're talking specifically today about our youth and how to create resiliency in our monthly episode in partnership with Live Like Sam. Now, I wanted to say, Randy Jo, that it was before I had my own kids, so I must have been in my mid-20s, and I hadn't really been around a lot of kids in my life. And I think I walked into a kindergarten or a first grade class, and it was though I was looking into a box of worms or something, where there's always movement, and they're not really doing anything necessarily, but everyone's moving all the time because the little kids and their bodies, they just have this energy. And I will never forget that moment where I thought, wow, kids move all the time. And so there's that, and then comparing that to maybe adults where we just sit there, you know, we don't move, but our minds are moving constantly and we're constantly distracted. So there's kind of two different types of movement, but both adults and young people have them. And how do you tease that out, or how do you harness that with, like, if you're doing a mindfulness exercise?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's amazing that the kids, they have their yoga mat, right? And we call that like their clubhouse. And so like you do what you need to do in your clubhouse, right? But what happens is when we bring the kids into a mindfulness exercise and they start practicing, you know, I could have 15 kids in the room and 14 of them are focused on the practice. There's always the one kid who can't help themselves, and that's okay, right? And the kids are, I think the kids are used to that. They're used to a couple kids in the classroom that can't help but move. And they understand that that's okay. And I certainly don't ask that child not to move. I just bring it in as part of the practice. But when we practice mindfulness, it's it's more like a game for them, and they get really focused on it. We'll do so many things with the senses. That's one of my favorite ways to practice. Like, we look around and try to find the rainbow in the classroom. So look for something red. When you've seen something red, put your hand on your head and take a breath. Okay, now we're going to look around for something green. When you see something green, put your hand on your heart and take a breath. So it's really about focusing, being in the moment, and teaching them to pause and breathe. And they love it. You know, they take it in and they eat it up. We do so many variations on, working with the senses, finding the rainbow, listening to certain sounds, and they get quiet and they want to hear the sound and they want to play. You know, we do all sorts of mystery things. And this particular session, we're going to be working on focus. And I have so many fun things to bring in for that. Some they've done, some they've never done. And it's always fun. I mean, my summer camp this year was one of my favorite summer camp themes I've ever done. We did nature journaling. And so every day we would work on a different thing. Like, I would bring in a branch, and each kid would have a little branch. And we would talk about, what do you notice? What do you wonder? What does it remind you of? And then we'd go through our senses. Like, obviously, we're not going to taste the branch, but we did, the other senses. And they just loved it. And I had kids that were just 3 years old, and they were participating the same way my 11-year-olds were participating. And when we would go around, they would share something. And it was, just amazing, the amount of focus and interest in something so simple. And,
good lesson for everyone.
Yes.
In fact, this morning early, I had a meeting, and it was a walking meeting, and we were in one of the more beautiful places in this area along the Wasatch Back, and we were walking very slowly, and it's an area where I often ride my mountain bike or go for a run or, hike. And I said, I've never looked at it like this before. And it was so mindful, because it was slowed down and without ever using the word focus, which is so funny. I was focusing, which I normally don't. And so for the kids, do you ever even use the word focus?
I mean, I'll play with things and I'll say, like, today we're going to talk about focus. Why is it important to be focused? How would that help you? And we'll go around and they'll share, like, for testing, or if, my friend is telling me something and I want to be a good friend, so we go around and we do that. We redefine things so that it makes sense for the kids. And it's so helpful.
I don't know that I've, in all the talk about attention and focus and executive function, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone in recent times ask, why do we want to do those things? And I mean, you think, of course, I just know, but I wonder if that's part of the reason it's so difficult to focus these days, is because a lot of the stuff you're asked to focus on isn't really something that needs or deserves your focus. We have so many demands on our focus that it's very hard to prioritize the things that actually do. So what a wonderful question to lead off with. I love that.
Well, and it's about also teaching them to build that muscle, right?
Yeah.
Like, so the kids all know about exercise and getting better and practicing things. And it's about, the more you practice it, the easier it becomes and the more natural it becomes, and it doesn't become something on the list or something that somebody's saying, hey, focus for a minute.
Yeah.
Listen to me. You just naturally are able to feel your feet on the floor, pause and notice, ooh, I wasn't paying attention. Okay, I got to bring myself back.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm teaching them.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I know you sometimes teach adults as well. How are the students in the class different when they're children or adults? And how is your teaching style different if they're children or adults?
Well, I think if you ask anybody who comes to my gentle, mindful yoga class on Sundays at Basin, that it could be a kid's class. Like, we're giggling and we're having fun, and I'm bringing in very similar themes. Obviously I'll pull out a poem or a quote instead of like a game, but we're really doing so many of the same practices. And I find that the adults in my classes aren't as judgmental as they might be in other yoga classes. I feel like sometimes they're looking at the teacher and thinking, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that, or it's too hard, or, you know, they're having the same voices the kids would have, but we're making it fun and we're making it simple and digestible and usable. And I really feel like the adults are doing yoga in my class with a little smile on their face. I don't see those eyes of them thinking really hard about, is my arm lifting at the right height, or am I on my left or my right? You know, they're not beating themselves up. They're actually enjoying the moment and being a little more playful, which is what my goal is. So,
do your classes always, I mean, they incorporate the two, yoga and mindfulness? You don't have just like a mindfulness class then? A yoga class?
Well, I call it gentle mindful yoga. So we're starting out with a little, I call it a soft landing, where we kind of focus, everybody lays down on their back, and I bring them to kind of the theme or what we're going to be working on, and get them to practice something specific, whether it's a breathing exercise or a body scan, or, you know, thinking of something positive about yourself, you know, just bringing something in. Then we do very gentle movements, weaving the theme in throughout the class and throughout the poses, and then ending again with another like soft landing, soothing touch in Shavasana, or, you know, final relaxation, I call it. And just keeping it simple and accessible, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm a co-founder of Mindful Summit County with Rebecca Brenner, and that's part of what we really wanted to do when we started our nonprofit, was make mindfulness accessible. And it's such a simple thing. I mean, mindfulness is paying attention on purpose with kindness and curiosity, right? No judgment. And that's all it is. It's like, what's here now? Can I feel it? Can I be with it? You know, can I stay here just a little longer and be okay with what's coming up? And yeah, teaching how to respond rather than react is a huge part of what we do. And that's helpful for adults and kids. And I think that's something that we can all use.
Yeah. It's interesting how the most simple things can also be the most difficult to achieve. Maybe because of the simplicity. I don't know. We overlook what's simple or something. When we talk about resilient youth, how do you feel like yoga and mindfulness can contribute to young people being resilient? Because this is so much that what we talk about is that being resilient is going to sort of keep you out of the deep, dark water.
Yeah, well, part of what we teach in my classes is, and practice in my classes is, being playful. And if something is challenging, you just keep practicing. You know, we say, I can do it. I get the kids to repeat that throughout the class. When we're practicing balances and they're falling over and they're falling over and they're falling over, just keep practicing. Smile, begin again, you know, and just say, if I keep practicing, eventually I'll be able to do that. And you don't have to be able to do it now, and you don't have to be doing it perfect. And it doesn't matter if your friend is doing something and it looks really easy for them. How do you feel? Can you be with what you're doing or not able to do? And can you say, not today. I'm going to keep practicing, though, and see how it comes.
What kind of programs do you have going on at the moment? And are there any things that people can still sign up for, or are they starting down the road?
Oh, yes. I have so much happening, as
tell
always.
Tell us.
Oh, my goodness. So Park City School District classes and Wileman classes start mid-September. And those classes are after school, 3:15 to 4:15. And you can sign up for those on my website. So it used to be through the Compass catalog, and now you can go to yogawithrandyjoe.com and just go to the kids section, and you can click on the thing and get right in there and sign up. One of my classes is almost full, but I have room in everything else right now, but keep going. I might make the class bigger if I get too many. I also have family yoga classes at Basin Rec, and that's monthly on Sundays. You can also find information on my website so you can get those specific dates and put them on your calendar. Those tend to get really full with babies and littles and moms and grandmas and grandpas. It's really fun. Those are fun. And I did those in the garden this summer, but now I'm doing them at Basin. And then I have adult mindful yoga at Basin Rec. I do two classes every Sunday. I do a 2:45 to 3:45 and a 4 to 5, and same class twice. So if you can't get into one, come to the other. They tend to fill up. But come, and you can drop in. You don't have to have a membership or anything. And then I'm doing mindfulness meditation again this year with the Senior Center. Aww. So I go once a month. It's the third Tuesday, and that's a free class. Just come, and I just teach them different lessons, and we practice, and it's fun. It's a small group, and hopefully this year it'll even get a little bigger, and what else? I have a retreat coming up. I have two retreats. So I have a retreat in Torrey, Utah, Capitol Reef National Park, with Lindsay Marshall. And I did the same retreat last year, and it filled up, and we're almost full. So check that out. And it's about harmony within. It's just being relaxed in nature. And we do yoga and mindfulness. We do hiking. Everything's included. You get a massage, you get your food, and it's really relaxing and fun. Mm. It's a Thursday through a Sunday in November, the 5th through the 9th.
Is this all on your website?
Oh, it's all there.
It's all there. Okay.
So much to see. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm also doing a Wild Women Tribe sleepover.
Oh, we love
which
them.
Which is going to be so fun with Renee. And that's October, I want to say 3rd and 4th or 4th and 5th. It's a Saturday to a Sunday, but it's just a sleepover.
How fun.
And we'll do mindfulness in nature and bring in some of that stuff.
Wow. One of the things that we like to ask our guests when they're on for a Live Like Sam segment is Sam Jackenthal was remembered for so many great qualities. What's something you'd like to be remembered for?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm putting you on the spot.
That is a toughie. I guess just kindness, teaching people and kids to be kind to themselves, and also that I was spreading kindness. That's really what I would love to be remembered for.
That's really great. And speaking of kindness, do you find that, you know, I think it's the natural human condition that if you're not kind to yourself, then you're really not kind to others. And when we talk, you know, going back to our youth, being resilient about bullying and things like that, how much influence do you think you can have over things like that? Do you see this in your classes with kids who come in and maybe you can see that they, you know, they might be the bully? And how, you know, talk about maybe some examples without names, of course, where you've seen this beautiful evolution.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that I love to see. And I do see an evolution. When kids walk in to the first class, they're sort of like terrified, or they're being who they think they're supposed to be when they enter the room, who the kids are used to them being. And then once they learn the skills, I really do see them soften and pause a little bit more and take a breath. But gosh, years ago, I remember we started to teach, Rebecca and I were going into the schools teaching mindfulness lessons to like small groups of kids that they would kind of pull out of the classroom and say, these kids need some extra attention. And I would go there and spend an hour with a group of kids and teach them some lessons. And I remember hearing the story about one of the kids in my class who was out on the playground and was kind of being a bully. And one of the other kids came up and said, oh, let's not do that. Let's try it this way. Let's take a breath. And they actually sat down. And I had a teacher witness this, actually sat down, and they started doing like some of the mindfulness stuff that I was teaching, like making it a game. And everything like sort of, you know, calmed and soothed, and it began like a whole new relationship with these kids. And it does happen. I really do see the kids like begin to pause and say, wait, oh, I know a better way to handle this, or I can do this differently. Oh, I have this thing that we do. And, you know, it's the same stuff as adults. Do we want to say that thing? Can we pause before we say that thing we wish we didn't say? And I'm trying to teach the adults the same way. You know, pause, feel your feet on the floor. Do you really want to say that? Or put your hand on your heart before you respond, you know, or before you react, you know. Can you respond with thought in a way that you want to be responding?
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful. I wanted to ask you, maybe as a wrap-up question, ADD, ADHD, so prevalent. Everyone acknowledges that they have, it seems, nearly everyone, like, oh, yeah, I'm ADD. That we just say that off the cuff, right, whether we've been diagnosed or not. How does yoga and mindfulness deal with that? How do you see that in your practice?
Well, most of the time, I don't know if a child has a diagnosis, right? Yeah. The school doesn't let me know. I just get a handful of kids and I see what's in front of me, right?
Yeah.
So, and same thing with adults. You don't know what somebody's dealing with, right? You don't know what's going on at home. You don't know what happened right before they walked in the room. You have no idea. And it's just this idea of, if I have some tools that work for me, I can be okay with whatever's coming up. And that's all I'm trying to do. I mean, I try to create a container when kids walk in my room or when adults walk in the yoga room that, like, I made it, I'm here. Mm. And so they walk in and I'm smiling and it's relaxed and it's a fun place for them to arrive. And I think once they feel that ease of arrival wherever they are, that they can just start to remember to use the skills that they already have, you know, this emotional regulation for all of us, whoever we are. And I do see it happening. And I don't need to know a diagnosis, and I don't want to know. Yeah. I want to be speaking to the person in front of me, whether they're an adult or a kid, and paying attention to what they're saying, listening, and, you know, being with them along the journey of that conversation. And hopefully, you know, the kids are doing the same with each other. The kids don't care what your diagnosis is when they're out on the playground. They just want to have fun. And, you know, adults would like to think we're all being present and listening to each other and being kind and thinking the best for each other. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Do you have a personal opinion? This is very, probably too general of a question, about being medicated for ADD, ADHD, before you try something like yoga and mindfulness?
Ooh, that's a toughie. I do not have an opinion. I do think if it helps them, you know, and it seems to be working and it seems to be changing their life in a better way, you know, that's great for them. But yeah, I'm not going to go there because I don't really deal with that. I don't get into that part of the child's diagnosis.
Yeah.
That's not me. Yeah.
That's right. Wow. We all need to be in your presence a little more often, Randy Jo. Randy Jo Greenberg, yogawithrandyjo.com. And can you repeat the organization that you and Becca Brenner started? And is there a way we can find out about that?
Yes, thank you. So through my website, you can also find a link, but it's called Mindful Summit County. And Rebecca Brenner and I founded it about, 5 years ago now. And think of us on Live PC, Give PC, because we don't have a lot of backing. We basically try to teach free classes all around Park City. And in order to do that and to find space and to create the time and the materials, you know, we just need a little funding. But otherwise, free mindfulness everywhere and mindfulsummitcounty.org.
Great. We will include that.
And Randy Jo is with Randy is with an I.
Yes, R-A-N-D-I-J-O.
Very good. Randy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks for having me.